I don't know if you guys are sports guys at all, but I went to a hockey game last night, which like I'm whatever about hockey, but within the first like 10 minutes of the game, like a fight broke out, right? Like that's like a thing in hockey. Oh. And watching it like kind of close up, I was like, is this like professional wrestling? Because I noticed the two dudes were like grappling each other, but they were doing like fake punches, it looked like, but the audience was going nuts and loving it. And I was just like imagining these two dudes like going like this and being like, what are you doing later tonight? Like, do you want to grab a drink? But I don't know. The whole kayfabe of like hockey was something I'd never thought about before. Cause like, you know, you see fights and it's like usually pretty brutal, but it's like, it's weird to have like a sporting event with that built into it, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe that's with a like minor league hockey or like AAA. I think I don't know if they use the same terminology as baseball, but I have been to some in my past, and I have definitely seen some where the dudes walk away with like blood down their faces. So it's not always like
I wonder how much of it is just maybe like with Griffins. They might just not be able to move that easily in those bulky.
That's why they have those big ass gloves. So it's like you can't actually do any damage.
Yeah,
but it was interesting to see it. I think it was two like local teams. Like it was like two teams, I think, from the same area. So it probably didn't have the, you know, if it was maybe a real competitor from like another state, they'd have their hearts just weren't in it. I could tell. It really took me out of the game.
If you see the gloves come off, then you know that it's real. Yeah. If you don't, then maybe that's the.
Yeah.
We just got to pretend.
Yeah. As a kid, I used to love the game NHL Hits 2003 or 2002 or whatever the fuck. Because that was a hockey game where you could, if you hit someone hard enough, it would go into a fighting game. And you would have buttons to do different fighting moves. It was so stupid.
It turns into Mortal Kombat. Like there's a game within a game.
Yeah, absolutely.
We did that on a... It might have just been NHL. I don't know if it had like a subname, but on Sega Genesis.
Oh, really?
And it had that as a mini game, and it would go like the main game is kind of like top down view,
sure,
of the whole court, and it kind of follows the puck and whatever. But when you would get into a fight, it would go like a side scroller, and it
that's
would,
wild.
If I want to say, you'd have like stamina bars or some shit like that. So it was like Mortal Kombat, and I would exclusively play that game to
just get to do that.
Fights,
well, yeah,
because I thought that was the fun part.
Well, yeah, we recorded like our GameCube retrospective, and there's like there's a baseball game that I used to play at my grandma's that was like, it was a baseball game specifically designed so like you could beat the shit out of each other if like your character got mad enough. So my siblings and I would just play it. And like, if one of us was pitching, we would just intentionally try to like beam the guy at bat to get him pissed off enough to trigger like a fight scene. Cause that's all we did. We didn't even play the baseball portion of the game. Wanted to see him kick each other's asses. Speaking of kicking each other's asses.
Welcome back to There Will Be Duds. This is episode 90. And I am your co-host, TJ, a.k.a. J-Spot, Jack Cheese. And with me, as always...
As always, I'm Nick, a.k.a. Dr. Funk on Twitch. And with us today is a special guest. He is a comedian, podcaster, writer. Is that the big three, pretty much?
Yeah, yeah.
Jeremy
kind of the same thing.
Yeah, they intersect. Jeremy Kaplowitz is with us today. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. My name is Jeremy, and I went to party.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. as always, we watched a movie this week. That movie being Hot Rod from 2007, directed by Akiva Schaffer. It follows the titular character Rod Kimball, an amateur stuntman, as he tries to raise money for cancer treatment for his stepfather so that he can beat the shit out of him. That's pretty much it. It's by the guys from Lonely Island who started out, kind of made their name doing their SNL digital shorts. So this is their first feature-length movie together. There's a lot of SNL cameos and the like in it. And this was recommended by Jeremy. So I'll let you start off. Why'd you pick Hot Rod?
What was sure. The... Yeah. Well, first of all, it's funny that you guys did Mishima last week because now you're this is week two of Jeremy's top four on Letterboxd. So just two very similar movies about two broken men. Yeah, no, this is a movie that I've just always loved since I was a kid. I watched it in theaters when it came out, and my friend and I were, like, obsessed with it. And then he, like, tragically passed away a few years ago, and now it is, like, solidified in my brain as, like, this important Jeremy movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I've just seen it, like, a million times. I really love, like, small-town comedy movies that have, like I love, I have a Wayne's World background. I love Wayne's World. I love Hot Rod, and I love those, like, low-stakes, weirdo movies that they don't really make anymore. Like, now if you see a comedy movie, it has to be, like, they're going to save the world, or, like, there's an alien coming. And it's just, like, this is just about, like, a dumb guy who has a moped, and it's just a dumb movie. I love it.
He wants to make the jump. That's, like, that is it. That's all it is the guy. Well, I mean, the dad heart transplant, but, like, you know, it's really about him and his development as a man. You know,
yeah, it is. It is one of the many, many movies where the main villain is the American healthcare system.
Yeah. It made me think of, like, again, I think something in this wheelhouse was like Napoleon Dynamite. I feel like would fit into that, right? Like this, there's like a certain era where these movies, these low stakes, you know, small town weirdo movies came out, and because I don't know,
Danny McBride one too. I can't think of the name of it that made me think of. What's the Danny McBride?
Like where he's the lead?
Yeah, well, yeah, he's in this one as well. But he's like the karate instructor. The Foot Fist Way. 2006. They're all kind of around the same time.
This is definitely better than like thinking of this compared to a lot of the big comedies of the time, like Step Brothers.
Yeah.
Fuck, I can't think, like, Anchorman, although I like Anchorman more, but, like, The Hangover, that just, like, a lot of those just don't do fucking anything for me, especially now.
It's weird how Hot Rod has held up politically since then. There's no offensive jokes in this movie. Everything that's dated in this movie is just, like, corny now.
Yeah.
It's
cringe.
Like the Cool Beans stuff.
It's extremely YouTube.
Yeah, but even even the Cool Beans segment is like so absurd, and like early YouTube poopy.
Yeah,
that it's like I was like, okay, this is weird, but I don't know. I think I was reading a review of this, and or maybe it was on the Wikipedia article, but someone said that like what kind of sets it apart is that like it's sincere. It doesn't treat Rod like, I mean, he's like an affable doofus, but it doesn't treat him like an idiot or like a shitty person. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of what separates it from those other movies is that, I don't know if they're like necessarily like cynical, like Anchorman or Step Brothers, or like, it's just a different sense of humor that maybe those movies, like their sense of humor is more like broad, like lowest common denominator. Not that like you're dumb for liking it, but it's this one's a little weirder. It's a little more absurd. Like again, like Napoleon Dynamite. Yeah. I feel like Napoleon Dynamite is like kind of polarizing in that way, where it's just like this guy's he tied up an action figure and he threw it out. I don't get this. This is really strange. Both movies containing a guy trying to jump something and it horrifically going wrong. You know.
Yeah,
it's true. Yeah, Napoleon Dynamite feels a little meaner to Napoleon than this movie does to Rod.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's more like. That's like an exploitation of these made-up people. That's what Napoleon Dynamite is. the movie that kept coming to mind for me, although this isn't as absurdist as that, was like Wet Hot American Summer.
Sure.
Or like then, other, like
that's the other
David
one on my
Williams
list.
Stuff.
My Letterboxd top four is Wet Hot, Mishima, Porco Rosso, and Hot Rod.
Hell yeah. That's good. That's some good shit.
Stupid list of four movies.
You contain multitudes.
I really like all those. I mean, I love Mishima. That was my first time watching it for the last episode, but that was an awesome
cool movie.
Yeah, like how there'll be, I'm trying to think of some shit. Oh, like this stuff where like after he, Well, he doesn't make the jump, but he like crashes at the end, and then he gets up and everybody's cheering. And then it cuts to Ebenezer Scrooge holding a cooked goose outside the bus window. Like that, that's the kind of like Wet Hot American Summer type shit where it'll just like insert random bullshit like that. Yeah.
Which is funny because we did a disaster movie, and that almost was like one of those disaster movie asides, like, oh my god, and there's Hannah Montana with a cooked goose. But like the fact that it was like Ebenezer Scrooge was
as
so
if that's
ridiculous.
A celebrity.
Yeah. 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 Chris Parnell treats him like, oh my god, but it's like a book, a fictional character from a book. Yeah. And we've been watching 30 Rock, and it's funny that Chris Parnell is basically Dr. Spichemin.
Sure.
Like, it's like the same character, like him overly talking about his Calvin and Hobbes tattoo, where he's like, I'd like to think that he had something in his urethra which separated his pee streams. Like,
yeah.
Have you guys seen this before, out of curiosity? Hot Rod?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This was...
Yeah, I watched... This was a pretty popular one with my friend group, too. So nice. I haven't seen it in years, but I definitely watched it a lot in high school.
This is my first time like sitting down and watching it, but I'm pretty sure I've seen it through osmosis because it was on when I would go to your house during that time period. Like it would be on the TV, you know. So I remember like, you know, the shit with him and his dad fighting. But this is like the first time I actually sat down and like watched the whole thing.
Yeah, I love like movies where I think there's obviously all these rules to like what you need to do in a movie, and I feel like an executive might read the script for Hot Rod and be like, but why is he fighting the dad? Like, is that really necessary for the movie? And I feel like I love that this movie, they're just like, I don't know, he just fights his dad. They're just dancing near the truck. Yeah. I don't know. Who gives a shit? Like, I love when like movies have like the courage to do that kind of stuff.
Those are some of my favorite jokes where like the scene transition things where it's just like, okay, now they're dancing in front of the van.
Yeah.
Or there's probably my favorite line of the movie that I don't think I ever really noticed before this watch, probably because again I watched it with like groups of friends.
Is it the pool line?
The pool line.
That's the one
so
that
good.
I feel like people always pick up on. Is like the pools, yeah. Pools are perfect for holding water.
Yeah,
is that Bill Hader?
Or was that? Yeah.
Bill. So Bill Hader's character was like easily my favorite character. Like,
yeah,
the biggest laughs were all derived from him. He was very much like Mike from American Movie. That's like who he reminded me of. Have you seen that, Jeremy?
Yeah.
Just that. Like, it's like, yeah, I'm just here to hang out. He just kind of has these weird, like oddball eccentricities that everyone's just like, yeah, cool, man.
The whole movie is very American Movie. I was thinking that when watching it, because when they make the movie, I mean, they literally make a movie and it feels very American Movie. There's this video I saw recently of Bill Hader on like, you know, doing one of those like discuss your most iconic roles or whatever. And they were talking about this for some reason. And he was saying that the scene where he is on acid and like gets the fucking piece of metal stuck in his eye and has to go to the hospital, that it's based on his friend who really had that happen in real life. And his friend, he said his friend watched the movie and was like, dude, this is crazy. That literally happened to me. And Bill was like, yeah, it's you. I made it.
That
it's
rules.
Based on you.
That's funny.
Yeah. And there's so many great, like stuff, there's so many great things that like kind of happen in the background that you might even miss like on a cursory viewing of this. Like when he drops Bill Hader off, it's like I feel like you see it for just a second, but he goes into the hospital and he's just like freaked out that he's there, and like right as he drives off, he's like on the ground like looking at them like almost stanced up ready to fight.
Yeah. I was gonna mention the LSD thing as a specifically Mike Shank thing. Like when Mike would like talk about getting high or getting drunk, it was very much like where he's like, yeah, so my friend at work was like, I got this LSD, but I can't do it. Do you want? Or and then he's like, and so I was like, well, I'll do it.
Yeah, they talk like Cormac McCarthy characters. Like, and so I did it, and then I did it.
That scene where he calls him on the phone is also very funny. It's like the middle of the night. He's just like, hey, man, like, what are you up to? You want to hang out? Drive me to the hospital or something?
just slips
like,
it in
good?
There.
He's like, yeah, I'm good, man. No, I'm not good.
So I feel like the sense of humor of this movie, I don't know, because like, so I was reading about it, and I think it was received critically or mixed. It was kind of received mixed when it came out, but I think
it's got like 30% on Rotten Tomatoes or something.
But I feel like with the
don't
like,
go off of Rotten Tomatoes, they have a bad rating system.
Stupid rating, but yeah.
But I think with the advent of like Letterboxd, I think a lot of people are like reevaluating this movie. But I, you know, it's like one of those like I think it's called like Seinfeld isn't funny, but it's like the influence that Seinfeld had on everything else is like what made it worthwhile. And I think this movie's kind of like that with that sense of humor, especially with like the Danny McBride character. Like, I feel like this is almost this like put him on that path, like with like the Righteous Gemstones and Vice Principals. Like, it has that similar sense of humor where it's like, I don't know if anything was like this before, like the Lonely Island and like the SNL digital shorts, but it's like it kind of, you know, paved a path for that weirdo, like lizard brain violence, you know, just over the top shit. I could be talking out my ass right now. I don't know.
The other one that I think of as far as Danny McBride is Pineapple Express.
Yeah.
That would be right. Like kind of the other one like that. Yeah.
But it's like
that does have some good violence where he hits the dude with a car and then he like shoots his toes off with a shotgun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that first explosive scene of violence with Danny McBride when like, what do they like knock over a dude's trash can and he comes out pissed and he just like kicks him in the nuts and like hits him with the tire or the
I've been drinking green tea all day.
It made me think of like that first episode of Righteous Gemstones when they like back over that dude with the car. And it's like so visceral, but it's like, I don't know, that violence just appeals to me. There's something about it. It's so good.
Or the riot that the when they're all singing and it just turns into a riot and Danny McBride's holding a TV.
It's like, I can't believe that happened. Who would do such a thing?
That's got to be like most of the budget of that movie was that riot scene or something.
The riot scene. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think it's like, it's interesting that you say that people are reevaluating it, because I do think that like, I really don't like wholesome comedies very much. Like, I like really cynical stuff. I love like It's Always Sunny. And, you know, I've never gotten into like the Ted Lassos of the world and shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
But, I feel like this and Popstar, the other Lonely Island movie, are both very wholesome in like a really refreshing way where they're not like, I don't know, super cheery. Like, they're still funny and dark and violent or whatever, but they're like, I don't know, they're just like these nice movies about like following your dream or like being nice to your friends. And they can be very refreshing in like a Marvel-y world where everything's just like a pop culture reference or whatever.
Yeah, I watched Popstar this morning before we had
the
call. Because I wanted to, nice. I saw that you guys both logged it, and I knew it was like Lonely Island adjacent, so I was like, I should watch both of these, just kind of in preparation for this. And Popstar ruled.
Popstar is really fucking good.
Yeah, like, yeah, I was gonna say that was one that I slept on, I passed on it, and then I decided to watch it this week too, like kind of in conjunction with this. And yeah, it was fucking awesome.
The first, like, 30 minutes
of that
movie.
It's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
Just like,
I think.
It's just nonstop jokes. It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. The songs, the song about Osama bin Laden, like...
Yeah.
It's just... Yeah, I feel like there's not really... I don't know. I kept thinking, like, this is, like, Obama-era humor. Like, this is pre-Trump. It's, like, it doesn't have that sort of... I don't know, like, we have to be making a statement or a message kind of thing. Or, like, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like comedy kind of changed when Trump got elected. Like, maybe not for the best sometimes. And this is, like, a snapshot of that, like, right before everything kind of changed, I guess.
I think it holds up better than some other stuff, though. Because there's also stuff, like, when I think of, like, Obama-era comedy, I think of, like, Broad City is a show that, like, hasn't held up super-duper well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, saluting to like Hillary Clinton and shit like that, where you just I feel like now you just feel like, all right, dude. But I don't know. Popstar, I think Popstar is, I don't think a funnier movie has been made since Popstar came out. But they also, comedy movies aren't made anymore. So, you know.
Yeah.
You're probably right. I can't really think of anything.
The only other movie like, you got to check out Blockers. It's like low key funny. It's like Blockers is fine. You know, there's all these movies that are like, okay. And Popstar is just like every line in it is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe like The Nice Guys. Maybe.
The Nice Guys, did that come out after?
I think it's the same year.
2016.
So they're both 2016.
But I mean, I think Laughs Per Minute, like Popstar kind of.
It's a different kind of comedy. Yeah. I think. Like, it's kind of hard to.
Popstar came out like 1 month after Less than
okay, a, cool.
2 weeks after The Nice Guys. So it That's still wild. Reigns yes. supreme.
Yeah. Cool. Cool. Yeah, I remember because I watched Triangle of Sadness a few weeks ago, and I felt like that was the first, as far as like time wise, maybe I watched some old one recently that I like more, but like, I was like, wow, I haven't seen like this, I haven't laughed this much at a movie, at like a new movie in a long time. And then I watched Pop Star, which is, yeah, a few years old at this point. But I was like, oh man, this is what laughter is.
Yeah, it's just a dumb movie.
Yeah.
It's not a biting satire of the wealthy like all movies are now.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Which I like, yeah. But it's just funny that every movie now is like a satire yeah. of the ultra rich.
Yeah, and that's definitely what Triangle of Sadness is. And that part I was like, yeah, it's not really saying anything new, but it was still fun. It was a fun ride.
I have to see that one. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. I was going to mention Popstar too to bring up like compare Tim Meadows to Chris Parnell, because I think in different ways, and I would give Tim Meadows the goated status with this, but like Tim Meadows is so unsung in his his like comedic timing, and it's he's perfect at it. He's so good at
he's
like
great.
His timing and delivery. And then I think Chris Parnell is another SNL alum. They're both just like. Just kind of underrated. That's what the word I'm thinking yeah. of. Like SNL alums. They're never like they never have been like stars. Although mm-hmm. Tim Meadows was a star in the Ladies Man movie, but other than that, they're always just like yeah. these side smaller characters. But they're so good. Chris Parnell's always like good.
He's like the Rick and Morty guy now.
Yeah,
the weird yeah. place that he has ended up.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah, I mean, he's got one of those voices, though, where it's very recognizable. Yeah, no, because, I mean...
It's very
yeah.
good for AM radio.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I will say every time he shows up on 30 Rock, which I guess is another, like, Obama-era show that I think, mm-hmm. I don't know, it holds up so incredibly well. Some of the shit
yeah,
that they
ever do. Yeah, 30 Rock.
But, yeah, Chris Parnell rules in that.
In Popstar, Bill Hader's in the movie for, like, 1 second. And
yes, oh my god, his part was so fucking funny
where he does the he says the weird flatliners thing where he, yeah. he's like their crew guy who's obsessed with the movie Flatliners and is doing
yeah.
tries to fit in a flatline sesh at least once a week.
Yeah.
And he
an,
I love
an F line.
It's so funny that he says like flatliners but and then he names the cinematographer which yeah. is so funny. But another thing I know about that is apparently there I haven't seen it I think there was like a deleted scene where they say that character says like that his like cousin works for a stuntman who like died horrifically like a few years ago.
Oh really?
But they cut it from the movie. But it's very funny that they retroactively ended Rod's life, I guess, at some point.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's like basically the same character.
Yeah. But he's only he never shows up again, Bill Hader.
Yeah. I had a thought when I watched that if he was the same. They do have different names, but they both got the long hair.
Yeah,
they kind of
yeah.
have that similar voice, and I was like, I could see that's what Dave like goes into post.
Yeah,
like post working yeah, for Rod.
Yeah, he's
and
like,
doing an F line sesh is like seems like it would be in his wheelhouse.
Something,
yeah, like
something
that
he would find out about on the internet and get very into.
Yeah.
I think part of the appeal of Hot Rod for me also was just the fact that, I mean, you've talked about like doing fake like Jackass style stunts with your siblings, but like making a movie and just like being suburban kids with like a camcorder, just doing shit.
Yeah,
I think that's what resonates really well too. It's like it feels authentic in that way.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I remember editing the scene where he like the scene where they're dancing by the truck to that song mm-hmm. Two of Hearts when yeah. I was like in I guess like middle school I for some reason edited that video to have a different song in it and I like in like Windows Movie Maker and I don't remember like why or what the joke was but I just remember that being like on my YouTube.
Oh, do you know what the song was?
I truly have no idea. I wish I could find it. It was like probably just a random song. I don't know.
Put the Numa Numa guy
it was
song
just,
over.
It was just a prank. Yeah. or the crazy frog or something like that. Oh, God. Something really funny to like middle schoolers at the time.
Yeah, exactly. It was probably something like that.
The dog walked itself home. What, that was another. That was another like blink and you miss it if you're not paying attention. Just yeah, the dog walked itself home. Like what? Made a pizza and then took a nap.
Yeah.
I definitely did not know that as a kid that was a the scene where he falls down in the forest is like a Footloose parody. Like I definitely just thought that was like a weird thing that they did.
Something. Yeah.
Does that happen in Footloose? I've never seen Footloose. Is that like he?
Well, it's the dancing in the woods like 80s.
The beginning is like I think like 1-to-1 recreation.
Yeah. Oh my god!
For like a little bit, but
it's at least very similar from what. Yeah. Remember Footloose.
And then obviously he just falls forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what else is there to say about Hot Rod. It's just a very funny movie people should see. The scene where he's in the woods just made me think of like how quick these Lonely Island movies are. Like they're all like 88 minutes or whatever, and they just there's so little time for like a real scene. Like they every scene just like cuts to like a new joke. And I don't know. They're just good candy movies.
Yeah. Yeah, they're very lean. Yeah.
I think maybe that's why it works so well for something like Popstar, like a mockumentary style, because you can just like plug in
Ringo Starr or whatever to say one line.
Ringo Starr has that's a really good
The number
joke
of
too,
cameos in that movie is ridiculous.
Yeah, where Ringo Starr's like he's singing like gay marriage isn't legal. It's legal now. But I was going to say, like, plug in the scene where Justin Timberlake's, like, talking about, I like to watch them eat. And then it's, like, him, like, looking through the door.
Smiling. Oh.
And then you can just have that. And it's like, okay, yeah, it's a documentary. So that's not weird. You can just have those scenes. Sure.
Cut softer, dog. It's like cutting the...
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And then the only, I don't think they direct, I think they had a part in writing it, but Palm Springs is the other Lonely Island movie. Sure. It's just not as directly them.
Oh, okay.
That was also a good one.
I enjoyed it.
I'd include some other stuff too. Bash Brothers is pretty good. It's not like
that's
a full
right.
movie,
I need to see that
but
one.
It's like, it's a, the thing about Bash Brothers is like, I feel like the like Popstar is one of those movies where you're like, these songs are actually like pretty good pop songs. And then, Bash Brothers, I feel like, is just a cool rap album that's like a little funny. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's not really that comedic. I mean, it's about them as like, you know, professional baseball players on steroids. And
yeah,
I don't know. It's a cool little like funny, like 30-minute thing. And then the I Think You Should Leave is like one of their things that they produced.
That's right.
I think they saw like Tim Robinson in the characters on Netflix and they were like, this guy should have a TV show. And then they made it happen. And I feel like those are kind of a similar vibe. I Think You Should Leave and The Lonely Island.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
100%.
Yeah. And yeah, I Think You Should Leave is one of my favorite shows. I fucking love that. We quote that incessantly on this show. Like,
it's hard not to. It's like weirdly infected all of comedy. In like a cool way. Like I feel like I just like before that show came out and then after it, I feel like so many comedians just do Tim Robinson's voice like in their act.
It's
hard not to.
Get it.
It's also like the show is about these like the show focuses on like the comedy is on like slight social like issues. Like very small things that it expands on and like makes them like the biggest thing in the world. So this is like it deals with shit that people deal with every day, but it's, you know, it'll just be like a little minor annoyance that you would normally just like. And I'm not saying that like, oh, now I am saying Tim Robinson quotes to people in the wild. But it's like that's I think that's why it stays in the mind so much is because like you encounter situations in that show like every day of your life. And then now you have an anchor point to be like, oh, that's like that.
I think he also just like he unlocked like a new way to be funny for people with his voice. Like, I think a lot of people just do that voice now where they're just like, I don't know, you know, and it's just like, hey, I don't know. Like, and
has this ever happened to you?
Like, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen Detroiters, but that show is like as good as I Think You Should Leave. And he's just the same character the whole time. Yeah. It's great.
Does Detroiters has I don't know.
Sam Richardson is the other guy.
The guy who did like the baby pageant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's their show. Like they're the two dudes.
And the same is the other guy is Zach Kinnean, who like is the co-creator of both of them. Yeah, and he's like a Harvard Lampoon SNL guy.
Mm.
Yeah, he's in a couple skits for the I Think You Should Leave too.
Yeah, he's the guy who's has to marry his mother-in-law.
Yep, that's right. Yeah.
How do we feel about Hot Rod? We good? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Hot Rod, I don't know. There's not too much to say about it. If people have never seen it, I think it's worth checking out. It's definitely a little dated in parts, but like thankfully not in a way where like no one says any slurs. It's just like a little corny at times.
Yeah.
In a way that like I don't know.
Which is kind of surprising because I feel like 2007 was like
for real,
the time period to do that kind of shit.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean,
if you watch like The Hangover, I think it's like there's still funny jokes in it, but like it's half of it is just Zach Galifianakis doing his stand up, and then like every 10 minutes someone says a homophobic slur and you're like, yeah, that was 2008 or whatever. And this movie is just like, you know, someone rings a bell and they spend 2 minutes with everyone going like, that's that movie.
Oh, holy shit. Queens of the Stone Age was in this movie. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're the band.
They're
right?
In the movie?
Yeah.
I think they're
yeah.
the band who plays at the...
like at the with the 15 buses. Show. That's crazy. That's so funny.
I wondered if that was like...
A famous... like
Yeah. Because they focused on him so much. And like the dude, the singer looked like he had like, you know, prosthetics on or like something. Yeah. I'm like, that's probably somebody.
God, the way his motorcycle just decimated the drum set. It's like it's a small budget movie, but then there's like these huge set pieces where like they're destroying shit. They like light a car on fire.
Yeah, they do.
It's like, yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking with Popstar is just like how it's like a Nathan Fielder like project where it's just like this cost the studio so much money for like all of these celebrities and these big set pieces just for like a dumb mockumentary. You know?
Yeah, I'm trying to think there were like last minute things that I remember of this movie, but like trivia wise. But I know that like Richardson is the character who's like dancing the whole time. He's like their real life buddy. Yeah. I know that. Like he appears in old Lonely Island sketches. I was like obsessed with the Lonely Island as a kid. Like they had they tried to make a pilot for like NBC and Fox that was like a sketch pilot called Awesome Town. I don't know if you guys ever heard of it, but they in the intro of it they're all wearing shirts that have their names on it. It's like Andy Yormont and Akiva. And in high school, I had a Yorma shirt. Like I bought that shirt. And it was just like, looking back at it, it's just like, why did I have like a t-shirt referencing an unaired pilot? Like, that's an insane thing to do. But yeah, their buddy, that guy Richardson's like in a lot of that stuff early on. In their old, what is it called? Channel 101 show. The Boo.
Now, did The Lonely Island, did that start after SNL or is that like something that they did before like Andy Samberg?
Nah, they were hired for SNL. They did sketches. They tried to like make a bunch of stuff. They were like early internet people. I think like they were before YouTube. So they're just like putting videos up on their website.
Right.
And they made a bunch of in Popstar, there's a scene that shows them in the very beginning. It talks about like, you know, we've been friends our whole lives. And there's one scene where they all like go like this together. And that's from like one of their pre-SNL videos, Kablammo, which is like some fucking video they did. Anyway, then they got hired. And I think they hired Andy and they hired the other two as like writers.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought that like Popstar is kind of a meta commentary on them, how they probably felt with Andy becoming the breakout star of the group. But not as intense, I assume.
Right, yeah.
Because they were all equal.
I put that in my review.
Yeah.
I put that in my review for Popstar, and then I was like, I hope I'm not insulting the guy. Like, I hope I'm correct about this analysis, and I'm not insulting Yorma and Akiva.
But, I think it's true.
Yeah, I felt that way, too.
I remember what's his name? Mike Birbiglia's movie about improv came out, a movie for, I don't know how many, 20 people in the world
that care think about twice. Improv.
It's about like a guy who, one guy in the improv group gets on SNL. And I remember mm-hmm. Mike Birbiglia said that Yorma from The Lonely Island said that it was very relatable to him. And I remember watching that and thinking like, how many people is this that relatable to though? Like, it's like a movie for people who weren't on SNL, but their friend was.
Yeah.
But it was cool.
Very relatable experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, because I watched that movie because I like Mike Birbiglia a lot.
Me too. I love Mike Birbiglia.
And I remember enjoying it, but yeah, I definitely had the vibe of like, this definitely is for someone else. This is made for
like,
someone else.
It was like Yorma and like Nick Kroll were both like, I totally relate to this movie. And it's like, yeah, I bet you do. Like you're both very famous.
Yeah.
It's like, cool. Yeah. Nick Robinson and Yorma or whatever.
Yeah.
Nick Robinson's the third Good Neighbor stuff guy who did not get
right.
on. That one's worse. I think three of the four they hired.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember like the cultural stranglehold that like the Dear Sister sketch sure, had, the SNL digital shorts.
And that it's one's weird cause, still good. That's
Because like, I don't know, it's the old chestnut. Oh, SNL is not funny. I feel like those digital shorts are, I don't know. I have such a strong memory of all of those from like, you know, Dick in a Box and like the songs that they did.
Right.
And like you said something earlier about like the songs in Popstar and the production value. It's like they're like fully fledged songs. That's it's not like, you know, just some like, you know, cutaway to him performing. Who gives a shit? It's like they wrote real songs for it that, you know, they could have released as Lonely Island songs.
Humble could like be on the radio as a real pop song. It's like only 15% funny.
Yeah.
And no, it could just Humble be a song.
Like legitimately a banger. I was like and like the writing too. I love when in rap songs they use the exact same word but change it. So like the first two lines in Humble and you're like, God, it's like bar none, I am the most humblest, number one at the top of the humble list. Like he says the exact same thing.
That's just a good lyric.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I got their first album in high school and I listened the shit out of that. And there's a handful of songs on there that were never on SNL or anything. So they did like make like full albums worth of songs and I re-listened to it after watching Popstar. And yeah, they're all like, I was kind of expecting to notice sort of like GarageBand or like like YouTube level kind of music. But no, it is very well produced. Yeah.
Yeah. They've always said they don't want to make fun of rap music. They want to make funny rap music, which I think is a cool idea.
Mm. Yeah.
Even there's also like that old, you know, Donald Glover is now like the most famous person in the world or whatever. Not really, but he's like, you know, blown up in success. Mm-hmm. And there's an early Childish Gambino song where he like, I remember like when I was in high school, he says something like, I'm not trying to do a comedy rap. Like this isn't jokes. And then he says like the only ones who do it well is Lonely Island. And it's like even like early Childish Gambino is like shouting out the Lonely Island. It's like the only funny comedy rappers.
That is funny.
Yeah.
And like talking about those types of like humblest, that's kind of like the vibe that I get from like those early Childish Gambino records too. It's like a comedy writer writing a rap album. You know, it's like, you know, because like Camp, I feel like some of it's a little dated, a little cringe, similarly in the way that like Hot Rod is. But it's like, written, it's great, it's crazy good.
Yeah,
and like his stand-up special, like the Weirdo, which I used to watch.
I was at that one.
You were at that?
I went to the taping of it in high school.
That's insane.
It's like the first comedy show I ever went to was Weirdo taping.
But it's anyway, you know, I used to watch the shit out of that, and it's like, oh, this dude can just write an hour, and he's also a writer on 30 Rock, and he acts is nuts.
Yeah, he's like 19 or whatever.
Yeah.
I think he was in his 20s when that came out, but he was, he started writing for 30 Rock like as a junior in college or something like that, which is like fucking stupid.
He was also, this was the time of like, and I mean this, I guess this is probably still happening because the guys who are now the Lonely Island on SNL, Please Don't Destroy. It's kind of like the same deal. Like they were just a pre-existing thing. They made YouTube videos. That's like how young comedy writers are found now. It's just like go to YouTube.
Yeah,
like,
well, they were
especially
found
during that time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Please Don't Destroy is terrific, and I think they're very funny. But two of their dads are SNL producers, or so.
He's a producer. Like one of them was like he's been a writer for like 30 years on the show or something.
Martin's
like that.
Dad wrote like 15 Adam Sandler movies, but then I can't think of the other kid's dad. John, his dad is Higgins. His dad is like the current announcer on Fallon and like the next in line to take over for Lorne. So like,
Really?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I they're very funny. I'm not like trying to knock them at all. They make a bunch of funny sketches, but not so much discovered as, you know.
Okay.
Living in the same house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I had no idea about that. I've seen like a handful
of taking them down.
I don't.
Fuck you guys.
It's we're calling you out.
It's on notice for Hilly.
Yeah. But they're probably they're probably just like scrolling TikTok because that's how I found those guys was just and then it was the redheaded guy. I don't know all their names.
Ben Marshall. He's really funny. Yeah.
But it's like their editing is really good because like it'll be like he'll be watching TV and he's like, oh, I'm trapped in the TV or something like that. And he's like having a conversation. You know, it's just, they're very like highly produced. For like TikTok,
definitely like very TikTok-y, which is because they're just like so fastly edited, in a cool way.
Yeah,
I like at this point for me, it would just be like, here's another quote that I like. Here's another quote that I like. There's not, I'm not trying to like shit on the filmmaking, but there's not a whole ton to talk about in that regard. Other than like, I do like the little like. You know, like we said, like just throwing comedic things in the background of a shot that you might not even notice on your first watch. That's a directorial choice, I guess. So I'll give like that. That's cool. I always like that in comedies. But
Ian McShane's really good in it. He's
He's really good.
I love Ian McShane. He's like I don't know. He's a weird guy. He's good.
Yeah.
Very good physical comedy too. Cause he's like, I think he was like 60 something when this movie was out. And it seemed like, you know, he did a lot of those stunts. So like he was rolling around with Andy Samberg.
Oh, yeah. Here's a piece of trivia I remember. This movie is written by Pam Brady, who is like a, I think, Mad TV person. And I think my understanding is that like when the Lonely Island guys came in, they rewrote a lot of it because they just made it more Lonely Island-y. But my understanding was that it was supposed to be Will Ferrell originally as Hot Rod, as Rod. And I don't know, it would be a very different movie, but you can kind of see how that would make sense.
She was a South Park writer. That was like
South Park
97 to 99, so like really early South Park.
She did the movie too. Oh, and Team America. Nice. With the Parker and Stone.
Yeah, wasn't it? It was kind of like in
a more South Park-y, maybe more mean-spirited Will Ferrell version of this movie, which would be very funny but different.
Yeah,
yeah. It'd probably fall more in line with those like Anchorman or old school or whatever like that kind of stuff.
Very like Blaze of Glory or something.
Yeah, God, there were so many of those.
He did do a lot of sports ones too, specifically. So
Semi-Pro is another sports.
Talladega.
Talladega,
yeah, it just would have been another Will Ferrell sports movie, sports weirdo.
And I was just gonna say that since you mentioned Talladega Nights, it's just kind of a side thing, but when I was subbing in a classroom the other day and the kids had to do it was like a wellness check or something like that, so they had, it was just like a little questionnaire and it was just kind of like checking in on them. And like one of the questions was, this isn't like graded or anything. It's literally just like a wellness thing. So it's
a graded wellness check.
Yeah. It's like one of the questions was like, what's a movie that never fails to make you laugh? And like the ones that they were listing, I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, stop, please. Like one of them said Talladega Nights. I was like, fuck. I was like, I wanted to be like, you 15-year-olds have terrible taste.
I do not like that movie. I always feel like I'm in the minority when I say that, but I don't know. Maybe I just watched it too old or something.
Yeah. I used to love, like you know, I used to think they were hilarious. I just think I just kind of got burnt out on them, and now I'm just not.
If I'm going to, like, draw an unfair comparison between Hot Rod and Talladega Nights and, like, those kinds of movies, I feel like a lot of those early Adam McKay movies are very funny, but, like, you can so clearly see the improv in them now, whereas, mm-hmm. like, something like Wet Hot American Summer or Hot Rod, like, it's so finely tuned and, like, written, and it's just, like, I feel like they're like, no, this is the joke, you know, say it this way. Like, I've heard, like, you know, mm-hmm. back to I Think You Should Leave, like, the way that he talks is in the script. Like, all of the ums and pauses, like, they really write it out. And Talladega Nights, you can tell it's just a bunch of buddies hanging out and being like, I don't know, man, just go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that was something that I initially, like, didn't like about... I feel like sometimes Danny McBride kind of falls into that category. I don't know how to describe it other than, like, making the joke and then repeating the thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, repeating it. Like,
just saying it a little different.
Yeah. I mean, I love Danny McBride, but even in Hot Rod, the scene where he's talking about his dream he has about punching 1,000 wizards in the face, like, that's all improvised.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
very Danny McBride.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I got in this car because you're dumb.
Yeah.
Did you know that you're dumb? It's like that cadence of just like, yes, we get, yes, repeat the joke, like the punchline.
You know. Yeah. Like, there's a, I think, like, a good example. I think it's in Knocked Up, and there's a scene where they're, or maybe it's Knocked Up or 40-Year-Old Virgin. And there's a scene where it's a couple of characters and they just go, you know how I know you're gay?
Right.
Because da-da-da-da-da. And then another one comes, you know how I know you're gay? And they just do that for like a minute. And it's like, yeah, that was comedy at the time. And I remember they would even have on like Judd Apatow, like, DVDs, they would have like a bonus feature that was just Improv-O-Rama. And it was just like, here's every take that Paul Rudd did of this scene. And it's like, yeah, they're funny. But yeah, if you can write something that feels mm-hmm. like that, it's going to be better.
Yeah,
like improvisation is impressive for sure, but it's not always as funny. It's one of those things like where when you're shooting it, I think everybody's like, "Oh, that was fucking great. That was really funny that you just came up with that line."
That's
on
probably
the spot.
How Adam Sandler movies feel on set. Just like just puts out absolute dog shit, but they probably had a blast making it. Like those types of scenes, I feel like are better suited for like end credits blooper fodder, right? Like show it then, but like write the shit for the movie.
Yeah,
because like my favorite comedy movie ever is Wet Hot American Summer, and it's just like you can't improvise those jokes, like they're just not, they're too.
Have you seen Wet Hot American Summer, Nick?
Yeah, it's been a few years.
Oh, okay,
but yeah,
it's hard for me to like. I've seen Wet Hot and I've seen Hot Rod and I've seen Pop Star like 1,000 times each, and it's hard for me to imagine watching Knocked Up all the time or something.
Yeah,
like, that just sounds tedious.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have.
They don't seem as like rewarding on repeat viewings. Yeah, yeah. What had American Summer's so good. I adore that movie.
It's probably my favorite movie ever. Obviously, I don't think it's the best movie ever, but like,
yeah, sure.
Probably my favorite movie. It's just like it's just a warm blanket of a movie.
Yeah, it for sure is. Did you? What did you think of the? Just quick. What did you think of the Netflix ones? Because I thought they were.
I thought they were like fine and cool that they made them, but I think that there's just some like a special sauce to the original that I don't think really recreate. But like, yeah, it's like add-ons. They were like, you know, they're like a good season of Community or Parks and Rec or something.
Okay. Like, yeah.
That's how I feel about it. I'm happy they made them and I'm happy I watched them, but the original movie is like stands alone, I think.
Definitely. Yeah. I don't think they're as good as the movie by any means, but. I was pleasantly surprised. It's good to see.
It's also
the gang back.
You know, the movie was made like there were a bunch of like hungry comedians. They like rented these like cabins in the winter and they like filmed this crazy movie. And then like now they're all super famous and they're like kind of old and like some people couldn't make it for stuff and they're like making funny jokes about it. But it's like you know, Bradley Cooper's not in it anymore because he's like a movie star.
Right. And, yeah.
Like, you know, stuff like that. So kind of feels, like, you know, they did the best they could.
It kind of sounds like what they tried to do with like the fourth season of Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Which like I didn't even.
Yeah, kind of.
I didn't even finish it when it came out.
Oh, well, you should finish it because the fifth season's a lot worse. And you got to catch up on the fifth season, man.
I actually thought, I mean, again, this is compared to the original series. It doesn't hold a candle. But compared to the fourth season, I actually thought the fifth season was
really.
I liked it a lot more than the fourth season.
I liked the fourth one better than the fifth one. But I think the fifth one has a lot of weird shit in it. Like, the fifth season has this weird thing where Ron Howard's a real character in the show now.
And
like he's clearly not around to film a lot of it, so they have to keep ADRing a lot of his lines, and you genuinely can't tell what is narration because he's like just saying it the same as a fucking narrator. It was driving me crazy when I watched it.
Oh man, yeah, I choose to live in a bubble where that show it got canceled, and I guess that was maybe for the better.
I mean, that definitely would have been. There's a few episodes
in four that I think are like genuinely up there with the original, but overall, I would say I haven't seen it since it came out, but I remember the Job and Tobias episodes both being funny. But that's like the danger of doing a show where it's an ensemble and then you split it up based on character, and then it's like cool. Now you have to watch three Lindsay episodes.
It's like
not really a character that's like made to exist on her own.
Yeah. Like I remember the Method One clinic being a funny joke and like anus tart, a new start. Like some of the Tobias jokes are pretty good, but overall I gave up pretty quickly.
No, I think you're probably right.
Yeah, that is the way to go. And the format doesn't work. It's like why would you guys do that? Why would you guys change?
I think they eventually recut it too.
And yeah,
it's just like I'm not gonna go watch a recut of the show I didn't like that much.
Okay. Well, anyway, you want to get us started on ratings? Do you know that it's just a 1 to 10 scale?
Yeah. Oh man. I've watched this movie a million times. It is like truly burned into my brain. It's hard for me to be objective about it, but I would probably give it like a 9 out of 10 just because there's a few things in it on this most recent rewatch where I was like, I could cut that from this movie. I'd probably cut the cool bean stuff and like a few other things. But like, I don't know. I love this movie and I cannot separate it from my own childhood. So I would give it like a 9. And I'd say if anyone listening to this has not seen this movie or Popstar or I Think You Should Leave or Detroiters or whatever the fuck else we mentioned, watch one of them.
We had American movies. Summer.
Yeah. All fun times. All of 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Go watch them.
I'll say this. After watching Popstar, I was like super heated like to get into this. And I did really enjoy it, but it wasn't quite as great as I had remembered in the past. And I don't have quite as, you know, personal to tie it. I watched it a bunch, but I still had a really good time. I still really enjoyed it. But after because I gave Popstar a 9 and I was like, ooh, all right, hot rod. But I ended up going with a 7 with this one, but it's a good 7. It's really funny, really, like I said, it is kind of like a good kind of warm blanket movie. It seemed like a movie that was probably a whole ton of fun to make. Like these three guys who've been like friends since childhood, and they're making their first big movie together, and it just looks like a lot of fun. And it's just a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm smack dab in the middle. I'm pretty much at an 8. I don't have the nostalgia. I mean, I knew it was like always one of those movies that was on when I was like at a friend's house, but I never actually sat down and watched it. And I laughed out loud surprisingly more times than I thought, because I think I went into it being like, this kind of mid-2000s comedy movie. I kind of thought it was going to be like in that same wheelhouse as those other like kind of Judd Apatow movies at the time, but it has that weird early like YouTube quality to it that, you know, the sincerity and you know, the earnestness that's not like too cynical was really refreshing. So I'm at an 8. but Pop Star is like a 9 or a 10. That shit was insane. Yeah. I cannot believe, because like, you know, my girlfriend, I got up early and my girlfriend was like sleeping and she came and sat down. It's like, oh, is this Pop Star? And I was like, yeah. And it was like moments before the paparazzi scene when they're in the car, like talking, and the girl like puts her boobs on and then she leaves. And then the dude just smears his dick on the side of the window. And we were both just like, holy shit.
I don't know how you could ever verify this, but they've claimed that the dick is Judd Apatow.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Holy shit.
I don't know if that's true or a joke or not, but I don't know.
Yeah. Because, like, I was like, okay, there's a penis visual gag. Great. But then he, like, puts his balls over the window and, like, the window's going.
Well, he rolls down the window and you hear, like, squeaking. And then Andy Samberg's, like, reaction is, like, the timing is really good there, too.
He's like, all right, I'll sign it. Like,
I love that he signed it, too.
Yeah.
He's not like, oh, you're gay or something. He's just like, all right, like, this is my man. Like, in the middle of the argument.
Just another Connor for real fan. God damn.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that might be a 10 for me too. I'm like, it's between a 9 or 10.
I love that movie.
It's so fucking good. I kind of want to go watch it again. I might watch it later today.
It's one of those movies where if I catch a scene of it on Twitter or YouTube, I just watch the whole movie. Like, I just it's hard not to just watch the whole thing.
Yeah. And they're both like tight 90s. Get In, Get Out. Yeah. They're super like lean. Like the jokes are written in that way that it doesn't overstay its welcome. I don't think.
No, not at all.
No. Yeah. Speaking of not overstaying or welcome, here's an ad break. Did either of you guys have anything? Because I know, I'm pretty sure we have all watched Tar. I don't personally want to talk about it, but it's something that we could all discuss.
Well, I know based on Letterboxd, I think Jeremy and I liked Tar a little bit more than you did. So
I loved it.
Probably
I saw it
a
twice
lot
in
more
theaters.
Than me.
And I'm willing to fight to the death over it now.
That's the thing is, I'm that's why I'm saying I care so little about it.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about Tar. I feel like everyone in the world has talked about Tar.
I mean, that's true. Yeah.
I watched After Sun, but that would probably bring everything down because it was very good, but very sad. It was a huge bummer.
I don't know about you guys, but I feel like I love Letterboxd so much for the watch list feature. But whenever I put a movie on it, if it's fun, I watch it right away. And if it's not fun, I don't. And now my Letterboxd watch list is like 200 depressing movies that I just never want to see. That are all like masterpieces. And half of them are like foreign films. And I'm just like, when am I going to watch this? Like 4 hours? When am I going to watch The Handmaiden? You know what I mean? Like, I just don't have the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, After Sun is on there, but it's like one of those movies that looks like people are like, oh, I cried while watching this. And I'm like, I don't want to cry.
Yeah.
I'm not in the mood.
I mean, I will say that it definitely was like funnier than I thought it was going to be. There were moments of humor, but I feel like with every sort of like drama, you know, about that kind of subject matter, or I guess drama in general, the jokes like are, you know, there's a lot of jokes in the start, and then it just reaches a point where it's not funny anymore. Like, I feel like, you know, like Breaking Bad, like the first couple of seasons have some really good, like Walt and Jesse, like a robot, like those kind of jokes where you're like, oh, this is kind of dark, but there's like some humor, some levity to it. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of hits that point, and then it's just like, it's a downhill bummer for the rest of the ride.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what After Sun was, but we saw it on a bigger screen, which was kind of cool. Like it was like the West Michigan premiere. Because I don't think it was like in theaters anywhere around here, which is kind of surprising because like Paul Mescal is kind of an it boy right now, I think.
Oh,
Twitter likes him a lot. I don't know if that's like a good barometer, but because he was in Normal People as well.
Yep. And he's
I don't think I know him.
Really, really good in that show. if you liked him in After Sun, he's amazing in Normal People.
Another show that I have heard is devastating to watch.
Yeah, it is. It's
everything is now.
Yeah.
So
I've been watching Paranoia Agent. Have you guys ever watched that?
No, I have that in the cup. I really want to. I have basically every Satoshi Kon movie. And I mean, that's a show, but in the cup.
Well, that's like the fifth one he did.
Yeah, I think it was his last one. Was it his last
I have no idea, honestly. But
because he died.
Yeah, he died tragically.
Yeah, in like 2007 or something. It's been a while.
I think it's probably my least favorite thing that he's made, but it's still very good. But everything he's made is really great. And I don't know, I really like his movies. And they've been pretty ripped off. So.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Interesting to watch.
Yeah, I've kind of slept on him as a director a little bit. I've only seen Tokyo Godfathers, and that was like when it came out. So I can't say I really remember anything.
Sure.
And then
I like that movie a lot.
And then I've seen Memories a couple times. We did Memories on the... Or Magnetic Rose. He's the guy that did
Magnetic Rose. Oh, that guy. Okay, yeah, that was great.
Have you seen Memories? It's an anthology movie, and Magnetic Rose is his segment. So it's not... Magnetic Rose is like...
a full movie.
No, it's part of an anthology movie called Memories, but it's really good. It's... Yeah, it's
very, like...
I will check it out.
Science fiction-y, strange.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he's made he made Paprika, which is like a direct inspiration for Inception, I think. And then he made Perfect Blue, which was like, I think there was even a legal battle with him because Black Swan ripped
Black
off
Swan,
like
several
shots from it.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's
but those this, are direct. Really good movies.
This was something that showed up in sorry, I was off TikTok and then I got back on it. But that was like one that I saw that it was like a side by side. I didn't realize it was this
really
dude.
Similar.
But it was like it showed Inception and Black Swan, and it showed like these anime comparisons. It's like holy shit.
Yeah, I mean he's only made four movies, and two of them were like ripped off into critically acclaimed American movies. But they're very different, really. But like they're really cool. And if you've never seen his movies, they're like I don't know, they're unlike anything I've seen. I think. Paprika is like super surreal and weird.
Yeah, like I said, I've only seen Tokyo Godfathers, which I think is probably his most like, or his
normal,
least surreal. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's very like sweet. It's a sweet movie. It's a cool Christmas movie.
But yeah, of like Memories, I feel is probably more akin to the rest of his. But they all sound really interesting, and they're all considered to be pretty good. So yeah, I really really want to check him out eventually.
And you know he died tragically, so it's easy to watch his filmography. It's only four movies.
Right? Yeah, yep.
Lucky for you.
Yeah, and then Paranoia Agent, the one show he did, is only like
it's like
half a season or something like
it's
that.
It's all
on
YouTube for free.
Is it really?
Yeah. Do you guys remember the YouTube essayist Every Frame of Painting?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I loved those videos. I've never found a YouTube essayist. Is that the right word? I don't know.
Yeah, video essay.
I think so, yeah.
I've never found one that has come close to that. Like, there's a lot of, like, writers ones, and maybe because, like, I'm a writer, I just find them stupid. But I've always, I really love Every Frame of Painting. And he has a whole video about Satoshi Kon and his, like, editing style that's really great.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It's cool.
Yeah, I was bummed when Every Frame kind of stopped making videos. I think it was like, 2015 or 2016? I think they stopped.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Yeah, the one
did
that...
Did it just kind of stop just without any... Was there any sort of like...
They gave like a reasoning. It was just like, it's just way too much work for us.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, 2014 and 2016. I think by far the best video essays on YouTube. Most video essays are like based on writing and plot. Which who cares? That's like every fucking Cracked article or whatever. Painting is all about editing, which is something that you just don't see a lot and lends itself to like a visual format.
Yeah,
I don't know. I really love his videos. Their videos. I think there's two people who worked on them. It's Tony and someone else.
The Marvel Music one is like one of my favorites that I go back to every once in a while. They're like, all right, sing a theme from Star Wars, and they do it. And they're like, all right, sing a theme from Iron Man.
Yeah.
And they're just like but yeah, they talk about like using temp the temp music and like how they, you know, would sorry, I'm feeling inarticulate right now. It was just like it would show like the temp music that they told the editor to use And there's a really good like Hollywood Reporter like roundtable about like music and film, and like Danny Elfman is in it, like Trent Reznor, all those guys, and they're talking about how much they hate like when a director comes in with temp music, because they're like, "Let me come up with something on my
own." That's right. The
every frame video, it like shows like side by sides of like, here's the scene from Iron Man or whatever, and it's like, this is the final score, and then here's the temp music that it was probably inspired by, and they are like nearly identical. Yeah. Like, I feel like there was a lawsuit, and like they had to give credit to I don't know what movie it was, like they used a Gladiator song or something like that, and they ended up having to give credit to the original composer because it was like so similar. And like those cases are really hard to prove, like you're like, oh, so and so, oh, they just ripped off like Stairway to Heaven, or you know, one of those types of things. It's like a rare instance where it's like, no, it's provable that you probably had this as temp music and used it.
Yeah, those videos are really great. The Jackie Chan one's probably my favorite, where he just goes through the like visual comedy of Jackie Chan, and it's very cool.
I think I've seen that one. I've seen a good amount of them. I know the ones about like the people that I like. I know, like he did one on Kurosawa and Buster Keaton.
Yeah, yeah, they're all really cool.
I think that's what's missing in video essays now. Is that really concise style? Because now, no shade to like H Bomber guy, I don't really watch him anymore because all of his videos are like feature length, or like
they're like movies. They're it's basically like podcasts, extremely well produced podcasts, or like extremely low produced documentaries.
Yeah.
And it's like I used to watch a shit all the time, but it was like they'd be like 10 minutes long, 11, you know, 13, 14. Okay, I can deal with this, but it's like, I'm sure it's really fascinating, but I'm not going to watch a 2-hour long video about the origins of the Roblox oof sound or whatever. Like that showed up on my YouTube recommended, and I was like, come on, man. Come on, dude.
I bet it has some twists and turns. I haven't seen it.
In defense of that a little bit, it isn't really about the origins of the sound effect itself. I did watch that. I do watch longer ones because I do it while I'm like doing chores around the house. So I think YouTube videos are perfect for that, where like I don't have to watch them. I can be doing stuff. And so I do kind of half list like as podcasts.
That's what I don't like about them though. Yeah. Like I totally get why people like them, and I respect them, and they're great as a format. But like for me, if I want to either listen to a podcast or like watch a video. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, like you can't like half watch like Every Frame of Painting because it's about like, you know, the visual style of, you know, the Steven Spielberg one or whatever. So it's like,
they're
cool. For sure. Like, yeah, as a video product. Yeah, I definitely.
That's what I like about it, though, is like
Every Frame of Painting. Yeah.
You can't watch half of it. Like,
yeah.
As opposed to like these bread tube videos that are like, yeah, you kind of like have them on the background. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just not for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean.
So fuck you, H Bomber guy.
Yeah.
Very nice person, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That feels like an organic place to end it. Did that feel good to you guys?
Speaking of things that suck, Tar. I just wanted to get that out there.
Okay, sure. Yeah. All right.
Saw it twice in theaters. Thought it was a cool movie. As a canceled lesbian conductor, I thought it spoke to me.
Yeah. Yeah. It was your kind of, it was made for you. Then maybe that's why I didn't get it. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
There was some spooky shit in that movie.
I'm not a conductor.
Dude, the thing with the ghost, like the ghosts, it's crazy.
I caught that the first time because we watched it on it's on Peacock, which is weird.
Sick.
I don't know why it's on Peacock.
That is weird, yeah.
But it reminded me of all things, it reminded me of like that glimpse of Jacob that you get in Lost. Like when he's in the cabin, there's like, okay. did you catch any of the weird ghost shit, TJ, when you were watching Tar? There's like one of the scenes where she's like, she wakes up because something's happening in her apartment.
Oh yeah.
There's like a like scene. She gets up out of bed. There's a red haired woman like sitting in the corner of her bedroom.
Yeah. It's freaks
me out. It's blinking. You miss it. But we were watching it and I was like, wait a minute.
I do remember some of that stuff.
And I paused it and rewound it and like paused it on the scene. And it was like, Jesus Christ, there's someone sitting in her bedroom.
Hmm. Yeah, and then there's like two of them.
She's like, just there's like a woman standing in like the background in like one of her rooms.
No, I think that's the one I remember. And but I was just like, I was just confused. I don't know. Okay.
The whole movie is very haunted.
Yeah, I guess there are a little like ghosts.
When she hears that like screaming while she's on a run and stuff like that, like it's a weird like.
It's the scream from the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
No way. No way. I said it actually is.
It is.
Yeah.
I said that to Kalia. I was like, that sounds like the scream at the end of Blair Witch Project. Yeah, that's so funny that it actually is. Yeah. Wow. It is a very scream
movie.
Is very
we all agree.
Well, yeah, Blair Witch Project. Yeah.
We all agree. Five stars for Tar. Five to Tars.
Tar Witch Project is Blair Witch Project is a classic, yes. It's very good.
All I'll say about Tar is that like I think if you take it at face value, I think that's maybe not the best way to go into it. I think there's a lot more to like unravel and there's a lot more going on like under the surface. And I think similar to like how we've talked about David Lynch movies on here, just like never interpreting like nonsensical weirdness for not like the director thinking that it's funny above all. Like I think Tar is like a very funny movie in a lot of ways. Absolutely. That like if you play it straight, you're like, what the hell is this? Similarly with like David Lynch shit where he's just like, this is really weird. And I was like, it's very possible that it's just like David Lynch thinks it's funny. And like maybe
So you guys just watched Mishima and I really love Paul Schrader and I feel like Paul Schrader just keeps making the same movie over and over again. He's just made Taxi Driver like seven times.
Yeah.
And I love Taxi Driver. But I feel like Tar fits into that category for me where it's like a movie, it's like a sympathetic look at a bad person who is like unraveling due to guilt. And that's like every Paul Schrader movie. And I don't know. I think it's cool. I like that genre.
As if we're talking about things that were, if you thought it was funny, it was probably intentional. I did think the ending to Tar was fucking hilarious.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That like,
oh, yeah.
That it's the absolutely worst possible scenario for a conductor is playing at a,
yeah,
at a,
and like,
at a gaming convention.
Someone even pointed out just like how condescending it was that like she shook the first hand of like the principal violinist too. Just like, you know, giving that same gravity to that she would with like Mahler's Fifth or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think the other reason that I think I was thinking that there was like more to it is, and it's literally only because he was in Eyes Wide Shut, but Todd Field was Nick Nightingale, the piano player at Eyes Wide Shut. And I was like, there's got to be some sort of like, you know, it wasn't necessarily like
Kubrick, like
because he was in a Kubrick movie. You know, Tom Cruise was also in Eyes Wide Shut, right? Is there some
Todd
hidden
Field,
meaning to
Todd Field
to
and
Top Gun
Todd,
Maverick that I'm missing too?
Todd Field and Tom Cruise are good friends.
Oh,
it's actually
okay.
Real.
So that's why the okay. No, I know that he was in Eyes Wide Shut. I was just
I'm allowed to interpret this movie however I want.
I mean, you know, I will say, I feel a lot of what you're saying about Todd Field's last movie, Little Children, which I really enjoyed. I really like Little Children. And there is kind of similar sort of like creepy elements to that movie, even though it is mostly just like a family drama. It's about these two people who like cheat on their SOs with each other. It's a very kind of like basic plot, but it's good. I would recommend that one for sure. I just didn't feel it with this one. And you're saying like, yeah maybe you need to look at it another way. There's no way you can convince me to watch this movie. As much as I shit on like RRR before, 100,000%. If I was forced to choose, I would watch RRR every time
I would say,
before this movie.
No joke. My top two movies, 2022, Tar and then RRR is number two. Not even kidding. And then I think on my list on Letterboxd, I might have put Jackass as number three.
Jackass, that was one of the best theater going experiences of last year, period. It was so good.
Yeah, if we're talking about like best comedies too, does that one count? Because that's that like as far as like pop star, you know.
Jackass, the opening of Jackass where they painted, I can't think of his name.
Chris Pontius.
Yes. They taint his dick and balls green, and they make it into a little Godzilla. Is one of the best comedy bits I've ever seen. And I saw that, my wife and I saw that like in the theaters, and I was like crying laughing at the opening of that movie. That's just the first shot of the movie. Is like, his actual ball sack on screen.
Yeah,
as Godzilla coming out of its fucking
face.
It's
like they got a macro lens so you could see like the details of his scrotum and his pubic hairs.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Your dad was there, TJ. He was like sitting a few seats down the road, and I would just hear him be like, "Oh my god."
I think he was cracking like
he was laughing.
He loves
but
that shit. Yeah.
It just made me think of like if it. My dad would like it. My mom would be like, I'm leaving.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Jackass Forever that's like one of the greatest film like theater experiences I've maybe ever had. Just because there was a bunch of my friends there and we were all like super into it. And
Yeah. Jeremy, so anything you want to plug
before? Oh yeah, I guess we can do that
before. Sure. I have two podcasts if people want to listen to them. One's called Deep Dive in the Shallow End, and one is called Quarators, and they're podcasts, so you know.
I've seen clips of Quarators. It's very funny.
Oh, thank you.
I see.
Quarators is a podcast where we read Quora questions and make fun of them. And then Deep Dive in the Shallow End is me and my friend from college, and we put it out like whenever we have time to do it, and it's just like one of those like people poorly butchering a historical fact and discussing it. And that's people never understand the title, but that was what the intention was, that it's where a deep dive in the shallow and we're bumping our heads or something.
Okay.
Nice.
And those are those two podcasts.
Cool. Well, we still got to do the movie for next week, I guess, but I guess since we're getting on this, thanks for coming on the show.
So if you guys are following my Letterboxd top four, your next movie next week is going to be Porco Rosso.
Hell yeah. I wouldn't be opposed to that. I do love Porco Rosso. Okay. But it won't be because next week is a dud week. So it's going to be something bad.
Oh, is it our dud week? Ah, shit.
It is a dud week, yeah.
Oh, no.
And next week's movie is from 2011, directed by Fen Tian, Love on a Leash.
I don't know what that is.
Sounds like a dog movie.
It's another dog. Yeah, wasn't our last one two of them ago it was
Quig. Yeah, Quigley. Was our.
It sounds like a great BDSM movie, but unfortunately, it sounds like it's probably a dog movie.
It's a dog movie.
But it was like Love on a Leash, and it was about like a dom and a sub. Now that's an interesting rom-com.
No, this might be the shortest Wikipedia article I've ever seen.
She wasn't supposed to fall in love with her client. Anyway, sorry.
Three sentence synopsis. There's not even like starring reception. There's like nothing about this movie. Holy shit! All right, hell yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I want to say, let me check. I think this one is on YouTube.
Yeah,
it's on Tubi for free. Yeah, I think it's also on YouTube. So go watch it at one of those if you don't want to be spoiled for Love on a Leash before next week's episode. These episodes come out every Wednesday at 7 p.m. EST on Twitch and YouTube in video form, as well as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more in audio form. We also have social pages on Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. And with all that said, I am your co-host, TJ, aka J-Spot Jack Cheese, and I like to party. And with me, as always...
I am too legit to quit to wait, is that Pop Star or is that Hot Rod?
That's Hot Rod.
Okay, good. Whew. KKK, Dr. Funk on Twitch, and joining us today.
Hey, I'm Jeremy, and I'm at Jeremy Smiles on Twitter. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
And I like to party.
Yeah, there we go. All right. Bye-bye. All right.